Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome again to Good News. We're here on Catholic Spirit Radio talking to teenagers of all ages about the scriptures and the good news to be found inside the scriptures that can help us through all aspects of our life, no matter what our age. I'm joined again this week by James. Welcome, James.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
James is about to, has just finished up sophomore year?
Junior year.
Going to be a senior.
Yep.
How exciting is that? You in the process of picking out colleges yet?
Oh, just looking at the emails from them.
Good.
Just trying to decide now.
They're all after you.
Oh, well, a lot of them are after everyone, I think, so.
And what occupation are you hoping awaits you in the future?
See, I don't really know. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, and there's some stuff that I have interest in, but I'm not sure yet. But I guess that's okay, because I'm only just going into senior year.
And congratulations. I understand musically, you're now a section leader?
I am, in fact, a section leader now for the alto saxophones at Eureka High School.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I played in my school band, I played drums for 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
I took lessons all summer long on drums. Now, we had 60 kids in my class learning how to play drums over the summer. 60. So there weren't enough drums.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not a big school. So we played on the seats of metal folding chairs. We turned the chair in front of us around, and we played on the seat of the chair. So 60 kids pounding on metal chairs. You can imagine the noise in that classroom, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I spent the whole summer learning to read drum music and learning to play drums. And when I didn't have the metal chair, I had the wooden floor of our home. So my parents, after my summer of drum lessons, ended up having to buy carpeting because I had dimpled the wood floor so badly doing my drum lessons. So anyway, we get to school. Sixth grade. This is sixth grade. I took lessons between fifth and sixth grade. This is more information than anyone needs to know about me, but it's a great story, so I'm going to share it. So we get to the first day of school, and I'm in beginner's band, which meets at the end of the day. Over lunchtime, what's my lunchtime, meets the concert band, and my best friend, John, is in concert band, plays cornet. And he says, you ought to come to practice and just sit there and listen to the concert band. He'll let you come in and just sit. And I thought, well, this is the guy I took lessons from, is the conductor. So I thought, great. So I took off my recess time and went and sat in on concert band. Well, it turned out that all the percussionists had the flu. So he looks out over the room, the director looks out over this big classroom, probably 100 kids. On instruments, and says, is there anyone here who can play percussion? And my good friend John points at me in the corner and says, Al plays percussion. And he goes, oh yeah, you were in my class, right? Hop on the snare drum. Now, I have not actually played on a drum yet.
Oh, wow.
I've played on the backs of chairs and wooden floors. I've never actually gotten to play on a drum. I'm excited. So I said, can I have some music? And he turns to the clarinets who were in front of me, and he says, you there, give him your music. Well, I didn't learn to read clarinet music. I learned to read drum music, and it's different. So I'm looking at clarinet music playing on a drum for the very first time. Okay. My friend says, it's easy, Al. It's boom, 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 boom. It's a march. Boom, 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 boom. I thought, I can do triplets. You know, this is cool. I can do this. So the band starts, and I start. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Band gets louder. Drum gets louder. Boom, 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 boom. What happens in rehearsal? Do you usually play the entire piece?
No.
No. The conductor stops you and he makes corrections, right? So he gives the little hand wave for everyone to stop. And all you hear in the room is boom, 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 ba-da-room. And he goes ballistic on me for not paying attention. I mean, ballistic. Language. My dad was in the Navy, And he used words my dad never used. This is in sixth grade. This guy opened up both barrels on the idiot on the drums who's not paying attention, and he cussed me up one side and down the other. Now, remember, this is pre-deacon days. I took my drumsticks and I walked to the front of the class, and I made an anatomical suggestion to the teacher as to where he could hold on to the drumsticks, and I walked out. And next thing I know, he's got me by the back of the neck, marching me down to the principal's office, and he said, "Tell him what you told me." And I turned to the principal and looked at the teacher. I said, "You go first and tell him what you said to me." And the principal looked at me, and the principal happened to live about eight houses down from my parents. And he turned to the teacher and he said, "Oh, you didn't." So evidently this was not his first time cursing at students. And what ended up happening was I got an A in music for the next 2 years. Didn't even have to go to class. And I got an A in music. And he got a suspension. So, but that, I was so disappointed that was my last day in band. Horrible. But we jump ahead now almost 20 some years. And my son, out of the blue, comes home from school and says, "I want to play the drums." And never knew that I played the drums for 45 minutes in the band. And so my son, to this day, he's in his 30s now, he still plays the drums. So it's one of those things that it carried on despite a very bad music teacher's efforts to dissuade my family from music. And my wife is very musical. She taught music. She plays, I can't even tell you how many different instruments. And I can barely hum. So I really didn't belong in band probably, but I didn't deserve to leave in that way. So that was my band career was 45 minutes in band.
It sounds like you should have been paying attention, I guess.
I guess so. I should pay better attention. And I shouldn't talk as much. So we were talking about you and your band experience, and you're now section leader in saxophone. And I love the saxophone. Jazz sax. There is no better sound in the world than a jazz saxophone.
I'm thinking about getting an unlacquered. I've thought about it, but I don't know. It's just not as good at classical music. But yeah, it sounds so nice for jazz.
It does sound so cool. So congratulations. That's great. And now you have the summer to yourself. School is out?
Mostly to myself, except for work and when John needs me over here.
So you work at the radio station from time to time and help out at other radio stations as well, I suppose.
I try, yeah. Learning, when he needs me.
Learning to be an engineer.
I guess.
Well, we all have bad teachers in our lives, don't we, James?
Yeah.
We both have a
John
history of bad teachers.
John is one of them.
Well, that happens. I survived it. You'll survive this.
I hope so.
Hey, we're getting back to our spiritual backgrounds here. We are heading into Pentecost this weekend. And this is a wonderful time in the church. We are celebrating so many different things. In Pentecost, we celebrate the establishment of confirmation, the establishment of confession. We've got really the birthday of the church. The beginnings of the church are attributed to the things that happened around Pentecost. So we've picked out a couple readings. There's at the masses this weekend. These are one of those weekends where the priest can select or the homilist can select from a number of different readings rather than just an established set. So I have chosen, since I'm going to be a homilist this weekend, we'll be using B, choice B, and we're going to have, James is going to do our second reading, because I think it's a wonderful reading, has a lot to it to talk about, and I'll be reading the option B gospel from John. So let's a lot to talk about for Pentecost, so let's go ahead and get started with reading the second reading of the Mass, which is going to be Paul to the Galatians. So we're going to let you do that, James. Why don't we jump into that?
All right, like you said, this is Galatians 5, 16 through 25. "Brothers and sisters, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, lust, adultery, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit.
The word of the Lord. Thank you, James. Good reading. I'll correct you on one word. It's immorality and not immortality. God has nothing against immortality. In fact, he promises that to us. But he does have a lot against immorality. Yeah. So we'll come back to that in a minute after we do the gospel reading. This is going to be from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The gospel of the Lord. So let's back up to the second reading, Paul to the Galatians. Any questions on that before we jump into it?
All right. So he says, as he told you, as I said to you before, I don't really have a huge question on that, but. So he told them before, that's in the Old Testament, correct?
Well, Old Testament and part of the New Testament. Remember that this reading comes at the very end of things. They're hearing this from Jesus after his resurrection. So he's been teaching them for 3 years. So there's nothing new in any of the things Jesus tells them after the resurrection and the times he meets with them. He's reminding them of things they've talked about over the last 3 years. So in the Beatitudes, he laid out for all of us, here's what you need for salvation. Here's what waits for the people who behave like this. The Beatitudes are all about actions and attitudes. Okay? Those of you who think like this and act like this, salvation awaits. So what he's saying is if you don't behave like this, there will be no salvation. Now, in this reading, he's being very specific about what keeps you from salvation. What are the opposites of the Beatitudes? What behaviors, the selfishness, the idolatry, the hatred, the dissension, the envy, these are all completely opposite of the virtues he talks about in the Beatitudes. And he's saying, if this is what you're like, then there will be no salvation. And the question that arises is, well, why let us be like this? If this keeps us from heaven, why do we even get to act like this? And the answer is the same thing we've talked about several times, is that God's given us free will. He's given us the choice to love him or hate him, to follow him or ignore him, to do what is right and good or to do what is bad and what is evil. And that's our choice. He lays life and death in front of us, fire and water. He says, pick one. If you choose to be like this, you'll be saved. You'll have eternity with me in heaven. But if you choose this, then we're going to be separated forever. So my question to you, James, is why would anyone choose the evil?
Well, because it's more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We talked before our program that milkshakes are not good for me, and we talked about where in town you find the best milkshakes. Milkshakes are not good for me, and yet they sound so much more enjoyable than a salad.
I know. Portillo's is just right down the road.
There you go. They got great shakes, and they're close by. So definitely things that are not good for us sound so much more enjoyable. And in fact, are enjoyable. If you read through the list of the things he talks about, there's a lot of stuff in there that sounds really good. Selfishness. I mean, a lot of people are all for the things that benefit themselves. That feels pretty good. That's pretty enjoyable. Not to have to worry about others, to only worry about yourself. Easy peasy. You know, the problem is that's totally contrary to the nature that God created us in. So when we choose those things, when we separate ourselves from loving God and loving others, the two great commandments, and we instead look at loving ourselves, which is nothing like God created us to be, we separate ourselves from God. And God says, okay, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to give you. I will allow you to be separated from me forever. So Jesus is just warning and Paul is warning us all again that your choices make a difference. Your choices matter. And it's easy to choose the wrong path. And we all do. We all do. We all sin at some point in our lives. Some early on, some later on, some now and then. We all do that. It's just part of our brokenness that comes from original sin. So God created us whole and perfect, but we invited sin into our lives. So they bring that up at Pentecost because sin is spiritually the darkness. God is the light. And God sends us the Holy Spirit to be a light in our lives, a continual, always present, always available light to help restore us from sin. Make sense?
Yeah.
So we talked about during this time of Pentecost, Jesus establishes two things. He establishes confirmation, actually three, the church, one, confirmation, and confession. So at this same period of time, he tells his apostles that what sins you release on earth are released in heaven, and what sins you forgive on earth are forgiven in heaven. So that's the establishment of the sacrament of penance. Jesus does that because he understands there are moments in our life where we will choose sin, where in our weakness we will choose the darkness. So he's given us that opportunity to come back to his light through confession. Confirmation. You've been confirmed fairly recently.
I guess so.
Right? 5 years?
Sure, yeah, about five years. Yeah.
So what do you remember of the purpose of confession of confirmation?
Oh, well, it gets you confirmed in the church. You're then like a member. You can receive God. Yeah, because you go through like your different like Sunday school, and then I went through RCIA.
Okay.
Just so I could learn more about it before I could become a member.
Right. And so in that, the bishop says to you, or the priest, as he anoints you with oil, he says, be sealed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. That's the actions we hear at Pentecost of the Holy Spirit coming down like tongues of fire onto the apostles. That's the light re-entering their lives, the Holy Spirit re-entering them, being revitalized within them, the Holy Spirit that they received in their baptism. And so it's a renewal. So your confirmation was a renewal of your baptism. It was a re-energizing of the Holy Spirit in you. And what I think we tend to forget is that the Holy Spirit isn't a thing. It's a person. Christ gave us a consoler, a teacher, a person that God places within us so that we are never without contact to God. We are never truly estranged from God's presence. We have him in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So what makes somebody a person? Well, there's someone you can talk to. There's someone who have an intelligence, a presence. So you have within you, as do does every Christian, every baptized Christian, you have within you a person given you from God through the sacraments, so that you are never alone and you're never without God's light within you. I think it's a tremendous thing to remember right now, especially during COVID, when so many people are feeling estranged from their community, estranged from family, estranged from friends. It's easy to feel lonely right now. You were estranged from your classmates for how long?
A few months last year, and then a couple weeks this year.
Yeah, months. I mean, that's a long time. That had to feel like a very long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there were some friends you were very close to that you felt very estranged from during that time. We all feel that at some point in our lives.
Yeah.
If not at your age, I mean, we all have times in our lives where we feel loneliness, the death of a loved one, maybe the loss of a spouse or a grandparent, or a friend dies, or a friend moves away, or you lose a job that you really liked, or you lose for those of you who are older than James, maybe a relationship, maybe a marriage where that has broken up or is going through rough times where we feel alone. And Pentecost is a time for us to remember we are never actually alone. We have within us a friend from God who is God, who has a mind and an intellect that we can actually talk to. So how do you talk to the Holy Spirit within you?
Prayer.
Prayer. That's how we do it. Prayer and contemplation. I mean, just meditation. We can sit back and we can talk to that person. And if the Holy Spirit truly is a person, and we believe that he is because Christ tells us he is, then he has a voice. And if he has a voice, then we can hear it. We can attune ourselves to that voice. Not everyone's heard it, but it's hearable. If you make the effort, you can actually hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. And it's an amazing thing. Once you do it, you can tell from time to time, is this coming from me or is this God talking to me? And we'll spend a few minutes to talk about that after we pause for these messages.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Welcome back to Good News. I am Deacon Al. I'm sitting here with James.
Hello.
James is about ready to celebrate summer.
I am ready for it.
School is out and summer is starting. So we were talking about about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and hearing the Holy Spirit. And we've had different experiences, James and I, of hearing the Holy Spirit. We look at it a little differently, and that's okay. There's a lot of ways to experience God's voice in us. Conscience. You mentioned your conscience. And yeah, I think conscience is God's voice.
I definitely feel like the Holy Spirit is definitely there in my conscience. It's not just like me. It's not my thoughts all the time. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And we sense that in different ways, some through a language, some through words, some through impulse, that this is the way I'm pressed to go in this direction by my conscience. And that's why the church talks often about the importance of a well-formed conscience. What they're talking about is a sensitivity to God within us, to that light of God, to the Holy Spirit speaking to us from inside our heart and our mind and our body. My experience with the voice of the Holy Spirit is an actual language. Words. I can tell when something I'm thinking, a thought, and to me a thought is words, but just not being spoken out loud. It's just an internal word. First came to me when I was about your age. I was about, you're 16 going on 17. I was 13 going on 14. And I was in a hospital expecting to die. And the doctor was, I don't know if expecting to die, but amazed that I was alive. I had, what had gotten me there was a fishing expedition to Canada, came back a few days later, not feeling quite normal, still doing normal things, but sleeping a lot. And mom thought I had an unusual color to my skin. So they took me in to the doctors, and after some blood tests said that I had enough toxins in me that I should be dead. And they went in, and that's what I heard the doctor tell my dad out in the hallway, get your wife over here because I don't know how much longer he's going to be alive. So they did emergency exploratory surgery and found out that my appendix had ruptured about 4 days previously. Now, usually your appendix rupture, you got like an hour. I went 4 days and had very high blood toxicity. So before the operation, I said, great, before you haul me off for the surgery, I need to go to the bathroom. I went into the hospital bathroom and I prayed like I'd never really prayed before. And I heard a voice, clear as day, that said what you hear so often in the scripture, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have other plans for you. And they took me into surgery, and after about 2 weeks in the hospital, I went home, and I'm here now. So I didn't die. So the voice was right, and I left that bathroom unafraid. I was very calm, and everybody was really amazed at how calmly I went into surgery and how quickly I came out. I attribute that to the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to me. And since that time, there are moments, and it's not necessarily daily, but there are moments where I know that what I'm hearing, the instruction I'm getting from that well-formed conscience, is not coming from me, but from God. Now, I'll also admit, I don't always listen to him.
That's not good.
That's not good. That's called sin. And I'd like to say that since that moment of at the age of 13, 14, that I've never sinned because I know for a fact that God is real. And yet I still sin. And we hear that throughout Scripture. Paul talks about, I know what I should do and what I shouldn't do, and yet I do what I shouldn't do and I don't do what I should do.
It's the Portillo shakes.
It's the Portillo shakes in our lives. It's exactly it. It's the Portillo shakes in our lives. It's that temptation of sin because of sin being so much more, sounds so much more enjoyable because it appeals to our base pleasures and not to the people that we were created to be by God. So it's good to know that even though we all share that same brokenness, we all share that same light brought to us through the courtesy of God, through the Holy Spirit that he gives us at Pentecost and he gives us at our baptism. So we all have hope as Christians. So the lesson we learned from here is get yourself in tune with that spirit through prayer, through taking time of quiet contemplation. Get to hear God's voice in you so that you are more prone to follow it than to not follow it, than to disobey him. Because God's only desire is to share eternity with us in heaven. And that, my friend, is the good news.
All right.
That's it. So that's good news for this week. James, thank you so much. You'll be back with us again next week.
I will.
Very good. It's always good to see you. Congratulations again with your saxophone.
Thank you.
Keep up with your music. And everyone, keep up with your prayers. And we will be talking to you again soon here on Catholic Spirit Radio as we share more good news. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.